Okay, so you're supposed to go into CIS software. And in CIS software, you've got Visual Studio 2015, and you are supposed to click on that and download that. And I'm going to this time do open project. Okay, so I want to do open project. Come on, you can do it. And then I'm going to go and look for where I downloaded them to. And I think it's on the other one. Yeah, VBCIS 120. So that's where I downloaded them to. And I want to do, I think it's First Math this time that I want to look at. And so I'm opening First Math. So that has to be unzipped, and then you can open it. No. I mean, if you download it, yes, but then you have to unzip it.
Yeah, it just didn't download.
You can drag it. You can go into here and just drag it. Actually, it's not First Math I wanted. But we'll stick with it since we're there. I wanted basic math. I should not have made them so similar. But we will stick with this one and go through this one since I'm there. In fact, I think this is the one we opened before. If anybody's having trouble, Eric will come and help you find the stuff and get it down. I think it's just easier to run it on your computer while I'm running it up here than it is to totally be reliant on what's happening up here. So I set this up. I had the toolbox open, and I set these up with labels, text boxes, and buttons. So those are the three things that I was using. I was using labels, text boxes, and buttons. All of them need to be named. And so I go in, and this one I say first number, not what I wanted to do. This is named label first. So under name, I put LBL first. Under this one, I probably got LBL second. Okay, so I name those. When I name a text box, I call it, and these, my mouse is very overly sensitive apparently. Okay. I label it as text. So LBL is for labels. Text is TXT. So I named that TXT second. Okay. Eric. And I have the button labeled as BTN add. So that's my button. Now, if you look at these, the labels and the buttons, I want to put a text out to tell what it is. The text boxes I want to leave blank. I don't want anything in them. So when I look at my button, I go down and I have changed the text box to say I want to do an add. So I've changed the text box so that this up here will say add. And if you look at labels, I also changed the text box to get them to say what I wanted them to say. With the text boxes, I don't change the text. So labels, I change the text. Buttons, I change the text. Text boxes, I want to leave empty because I want you to put the information into them. So I leave those empty. Okay, now on this one, notice on that box, it's kind of a little bit grayed out. That's because I don't want the user putting the answer in. I want the computer putting the answer in. So I changed its property to say read only. And when I changed the property on this text box, that text box is called text answer. And I changed its read-only property to say true. That means that the user can't put anything in there. Okay? It's going to be there for the computer to put something in, but not the user. So read-only grays it out so that the user can't put the answer in. So, now if I go and run this, come on. I put in 12 and 3. And say add, and it gives me a 15. Now notice, I can't go in and change that. That 15 was put there by the computer. I can't do anything with it. If I hit subtract, it gives me a value of 9. If I hit multiply, I get 36, and if I hit divide, I get 4. So I'm getting the answer on all of these. And I want to make sure I took a picture of the read-only, so I'm going to take it again. Only that actually changed. Okay, can I get a picture of the read-only, please? Whatever. Okay, on these, I added a bunch when I did it by mistake. The ones that I don't want to use, I want to get rid of. Okay, so I come in here, and these are my add, subtract, multiply, and divide statements. Okay, so I made the add button, and then I clicked on it. And when I clicked on the add button, it came up with private sub, end sub. And then I put in the code in there. So I said textanswer.text is going to be equal to adding the first two numbers. But my problem is that, see, I need to tell it the difference between adding and concatenating. So I need to convince it it's a number, and cint convinces it that it's an integer number, not a decimal number. If I want decimal, it should be cdec to convert to decimal. But if I want integer, I have cint. And that's a function, just like in JavaScript, you use parse integer. I'm using cint exactly the same way you use parse integer in JavaScript. So I'm enclosing the first number that I want to add in cint, and I'm enclosing the next one in parentheses with cint up front, just like I used to do with parse integer. Okay, now, so the plus is going to now add. With the negative and the multiply and the divide, I don't have to do that. Just like I didn't have to do it that way in JavaScript. The reason I have to do it is that the plus sign can mean both add and concatenate. And so I've got to help it figure out which one I want it to do, and making things numbers convince it that it wants to add. Okay, so it goes through and does an add. Then when I click on the subtract button, I put this statement in. And when I click on the multiply, I put this in. And when I click on the divide, I put that in. Okay? Now, notice that all of the text boxes, I write the name of the text box, and then I write dot text. That means I want to use the text property. The text property. And the text property is looking at what was entered into the box. Okay? If I come back here and I look at the text property of first number, it has nothing in it. But if I write ABC, now notice that ABC is in there. Okay, so I came over here and I wrote ABC, and now ABC is in there. So that's the text property. Now, in fact, I don't want anything there, and so I am leaving the text property with nothing in it. But just to show you that that's the text property, if I write something there, it goes in as the text property. Okay? So, back over here, when I do a calculation, I want the result of the calculation to go into the text property of TextAnswer. And when I do the calculation, I want to take the text property that you enter into first and the text property that you enter into second and do some kind of math with it. Okay? So I need to have that dot text there to tell it specifically we're talking about the text property. Because you can see all the properties that go with a box. There's a load of them. Okay? There's color properties. There's all kinds of things that go with it. Thank you, sir. Okay. Questions? Anybody that sits over in that corner is hidden. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so now I'm going to add a button to this box, to this form. So I'm going to just add a button. and put the button down there. Thank you. And there's a button. And it is called button one. So I'm going to call this button if. Okay, so I'm adding a button, and I'm going to call my button if, BTN if. And I'm going to go down, and I am going to change its text property and make its text property say if. So I'm going down to its text property and writing if there. And when I write if there, if shows up on the button. Not what I wanted to do. Somehow this mouse is very...
Chunky.
It kind of thinks ahead of me.
Yes.
It's very sensitive. Okay, so I now have if in there, and that's my if button. So again, when I want to write something behind here, some code to go with the if, I double click on the if and it comes up. And it makes, as I said, private sub button if underscore click, which means when you click on this button, this will happen. That's the click event. And when you click on this button, that will happen. There are a gazillion events that you can have in Visual Basic. We're not even going to touch most of them. But if you come up here where it says click, and you click there, it gives you a vague idea of how many million events there are that you can choose between. Okay, but we're going to just stick with the click event. So now I'm going to check something, and I'm going to say, if text answer dot text is greater than 5, then... And notice it very nicely put in an end if for me. Okay? You put in an end if. And I am going to then say message box greater than 5. Okay? A message box is like an alert. It puts out a message, just like an alert in JavaScript did. So I'm going to put out a message if it's greater than 5. Okay? So I'm going to start this program. And I'm going to put the 12 in and 3 in and say add, and it gave me 15. And now I'm clicking the if, and it came back and said greater than 5. Okay, so my if statement let me put up this pop-up, and the pop-up said greater than 5. Because that was the message that I told it I wanted to put out. Now I'm going to say okay, and I am going to quit. And I'm going to go back and add an else to this. And I'm going to say else, and I'll put up a message box that says not greater than 5. Okay? So now I have added an if and I have added an else. Now notice the structure here. the if statement has a then after it. Okay? And now it tends to put that then in automatically. So if I just type something and then hit enter, it adds a then for me. It didn't used to. And I used to have to add in thens about once every two times that I did it. I'd forget the then. But you can go in and it puts in the then for you. Notice how nicely it indents for you. So if, else, and if are all underneath each other. And what you're doing is pushed in. Now this is not one of the curly brace languages. So this has an end if to tell me when the if is done. With JavaScript, we use curly braces. And the curly braces told you when things were done. Now you're using an end if. Okay? And the end if is telling you that this if statement is done. And the end if was there even before I put the else in, remember? When I had it originally, it said if, and then it did the message box, and then it did end if. Now I'm adding in the else. Okay? Questions? Yeah.
Just from line 52 to 59, did you add that yourself or was that automation?
I added 52 and 58. Okay. Can everybody see all right? Was that right there? So I'm saying, what I did is I double-clicked on the if button. Sorry. I double-clicked on my if button, and it generated the line private sub button if click and end sub. So it generated those lines. Then I went in and wrote all the code in between. So all this code is what I want to have happen if the if button is clicked. This is what I want to have happen if the if button is clicked. Now the difference between this style of programming and the JavaScript style of programming is JavaScript, you wrote the whole program and you followed it one line at a time. And you did things as they came up. This is a kind of visual programming that involves the user interacting. So when the user hits the button, things happen. But it's under the control, very much under the control of the user. So if I click that if button, the if statement gets executed. If I never click the button up here, it will never get executed. It's executing based on my clicking the button and saying, I want you to do this. Okay? So it's very interactive with the user, and the user kind of decides what they want to do. Okay? On the one above here, I wrote this code. Dim work answer as an integer. So this is similar to what I did in JavaScript, where I would have set up a variable as an integer. So in JavaScript, when I wrote this, I would have said variable work answer. And then I would have either stopped or give it an initial value. I don't actually tell it the type in JavaScript. Okay? Some languages want me to tell it the type of data. Other languages say, no, I'll figure it out. Okay, so here I am telling it that I want to set up a memory variable called work answer, and I want it to be an integer. If I also wanted to have an initial value, I can actually write equals 10 or something. And that will also give it an initial value. So when I dim something, I give it a type, and if I want to, I can give it a value by writing the equals and then giving it the value out there. So I have the option of giving it a value. So dim defines a variable. Actually, I was done on this one. Dim defines a variable. Okay? So if I want to use it in this subroutine or multiples, I have to make a decision. Okay, so if I define the variable inside this subroutine or module, the variable is only available in that subroutine. And that's important. The variable is only available in that subroutine. So if I come down to another subroutine and I try to write out or test work answer, it's going to say, huh? I don't know what work answer is. You haven't defined it for me. That work answer is only defined for that subroutine. Okay? Now, if I want it to be defined so that all of the subroutines can see it, I can put it right up here under public class. So right up there, I can put my dim. And I can say dim work answer as integer. And at that point, when I put it up there, it has been made public, and all of my subroutines can see it. So if I'm defining something I want seen and usable, more importantly, usable, in all the subroutines, I put it up there. And this is called, or at least I call it global. There are other words for it too. This is global, it's for all of the subroutines. Whereas if I define it in a subroutine, it is only local. And therefore, it is available only to that subroutine. So global is up there. And the definition down here is local. It is only available to that subroutine. Questions? So if I tried to come down here and put out a message box that said work answer, first of all, notice what it did. It put curly braces under work answer, which basically told it, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't put it out here, okay? Because I don't know what you're talking about. If I had defined it up at the top of global, I wouldn't have got those curly zigzag line underneath. But Visual Basic very nicely gives you the zigzag lines and tells you that it's a problem. Okay. If I try to run this with that there, it gives me, there were build errors, would you like to continue and run the last successful, and if I say no, then it stops and it tells me the best it can what the problem is. Work answer is not declared. Okay? So that basically meant it wasn't declared and it couldn't see it. And the reason it couldn't see it is that it's not declared for that subroutine. Now there are two fixes to this. I could define work answer down here. And if I define work answer down here, it would be happy. But it wouldn't know anything about this word answer. It would think of it as this word answer. If I want to use it in both, then I should define it as global. Okay? We won't get into it, but you can pass information from subroutine to subroutine and all that, but we're not going to get into that in our week and a half visit to Visual Basic. But there are other ways around it. But for now, the best way is if I want to use it multiple places, I take this definition here and I take it up to the top and I put it in here, and now I've got something that can be used. So if I say start and I put in 5 and 2, 3, and I add them or whatever, and then I click the if, it says greater than 5, and I should have made it so that it wasn't greater than 5, so wait a minute. 1, add, answers now 4, not greater than 5, and it shows me the content of work answer. Now I haven't put anything in work answer, so it's showing me a 0, but at least it's showing me the content of work answer. Okay, so I can see work answer. And it would be better if I took a picture where it shows it. And again, I've made it global. So that works. Okay? So if it's global, it can be used in one or more subroutines. If it's not global, it has to be defined in the subroutine where you want to use it. Questions? Okay, I've got a couple of things here that I call question one and question two. Okay, so this one is basically the same as what I did below, except on this one, instead of putting up a message box, I put it into the field. So I'm saying there, if what I enter in the two text fields is the same, okay, so I'm going to start this, and I'm going to enter a 5 and a 5. And then I'm clicking question 1, and question 1 came up with same. Because what I entered into those is the same. So if textfirst.text equals textsecond.text, then I write out same. If not, I write out different. And this time I put them onto a box on the form, text box on the form, in the one that I did when we first started class, I put it out as a message box. Okay, now I'm going to come down and I'm going to go back to the form, and we will do question two eventually. And I'm going to open my toolbox and I'm going to drag another button over here. And I'm going to call this button calc or button check, I guess. Button check, and I am going to call it check. So the text I'm calling it is check. So this is called button check, and it is going to have the word check written in it. So I'm going to check here, and I'm going to say, if text first dot text Let's see, is greater than 5 for some reason, okay? And notice it kind of curly braces things occasionally and then makes them go away when I get down to the next line and decides I'm on the right track. So if it does, I'm going to say text answer dot text equals text first dot text times text first dot text minus text second dot text. Okay. So I can put in a calculation there. Okay, I can do a calculation. It's a meaningless calculation, but I can do a calculation. And like other languages mathematically, multiplication is performed before addition and subtraction. And if I want the addition and subtraction to be performed first, I have to put it in parentheses. Okay, so I put those in parentheses, which means it resolves parentheses first. So it goes and does the subtract, and then it does the multiply. Okay, because it does subtraction because it's in the parentheses. If I didn't have the parentheses there, it would do the multiplication and then do the subtract. So it follows the rules of mathematics, okay? The multiplication and division is done before an add and subtract, and if you want to change it, you have to put in parentheses. Okay. Now I'm going to go back and apply that up here, where I'm going to say, if text first is greater than 5, or text second dot text is greater than 5. Okay? So now I am looking at saying if one or the other is true. Okay, if one or the other is true, then I want to do whatever calculation I've got down there. And then I can put in an else and do something else if I wanted to. Okay. So I can write it with a compound or. So if I run this, okay, I want one of these to be greater than 5. Okay. And I'm going to click on check. And one of them is greater than 5, so it went and did the calculation. Okay, first num was greater than 5, so it went and did the calculation. And so it said 6 minus 4 is 2, 2 times 6 is 12, and I got the answer of 12. That could have been an and instead of an or. Okay, so I could have done this with an and, the word and there instead of or, and then it would have looked for both of them to be greater than 5. Okay. Now, I'm going to go back and add another button. So I've got another button in there, and I'm going to call this one text another, or button another rather. So I've got another button in there, and this is going to simply have the text another on it, because I'm running out of originality. And now I'm clicking on another. and I'm going to say if text first dot text is greater than 5, and notice again it puts in the then for me. If text second dot text is greater than 8, put out a message box that says both true. Okay, so I'm saying there, if text first is greater than 5, then I drop down and I check if second greater than 8. And if it is, I say both are true. Okay, what would I then put in if I want to put other messages for other circumstances? If I hit else here, I would put out the message box that says text. I can't spell. Okay, I really can't spell. So I'm now saying text second, that should have said, is greater than 8. Sorry, read it wrong. I should have asked you to fix it. And then I can put an else down here that says okay, so I've got ifs and elses for both of these. So my flowchart for this is that I would ask the first question, is first greater than 5? And if it is, then I'm going to ask, is second greater than 8? And if it is, then I am putting out the message that says both are true. If this is not true, I'm going to put out the message that says it is not greater than. I have real problems with that message. This is not greater than 8. And if I get a no here, I'm saying that this is not greater than 5. So I left out the words not in my message, but we will go back and put them in. If first is greater than 5 and second is greater than 8, then both are true. If I get a no to second, then second is not greater than 8. If I get a no to first, then first is not greater than 5. So I'm running this, and if I put in there 12 and 12 and click another, it tells me both are true. Okay. If I put in there 12 and 2,
something is off, killed a little bit here.
If I put in 12 and 2 and click another, it says text second is not greater than 8. Okay? And it's not. If I put in a 5 here, okay, and whatever there, and say another, it comes up and says text first is not greater than 5. Okay. What I want you to do now for a minute is add a field called code up here. So we're just messing this one up beautifully. So put up a field called code. You don't even have to do a label if you don't want to. And make that code. Okay, so make that text code or something like that. And then make a button down here, and the button is going to check. I want to check to see text code equal to A, and either first greater than 10 or second greater than 10. So that's, I want a button down there where you make that test. Okay? So take a few minutes and try doing that. Put a button on there that says code. Yeah.
How do you make that part of the thing open? Mine's not doing it.
Yeah, mine's deleted.
What part of what thing open?
I don't have the box at all. Or any of the tools.
Eric, can you go and look?
The mic's still on, it's brought up this whole other thing.
Is the program still running? Two boxes in here,
no? Yeah, but where am I going to put it? Is everything I click on it left at all?
These are just text boxes, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to click automatically.
And it's under text or name.
Okay, he's looking at it, so. We'll see if he finds it.
It's under name.
That's the name.
Is that still a box? Right?
Say that again.
Like where we name the boxes, you know how there's that, if we name that one?
Yes.
Oh, is that sure.
It's called name.
Okay. All right.
He figured out how to make the code pop up, but that's all that is necessary.
All right. Is that business code?
I tried everything I thought, and the only thing that comes up is the code. Of course, it was
references.
Why is it references? That's the one that opened the code. In fact, it didn't even work when I put that one, it was on the FRM that one.
What?
Is that a text box? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's a text box. So you go to the toolbar, and you're going to get a text box.
Sorry.
And a button. Did you fix it? What was it?
It just closed for whatever reason on hers. So it opened up, and hers was in the wrong file.
Whatever.
I don't know.
I want you to add a box for a code, and a text box for a code, and I want you to add a button that you can click on, and if you click on the button, I want you to put up a message or whatever, or you can put something in the answer, I don't care which, but I want to know everyone that has a text code of A, and either first or second is greater than 10. And whether you want to say yes with a message or put yes in here, it doesn't matter, but I want to know if the text code is A in either of the other two things. You're just going to either put up a message box or move something to text answer, if it's true. And then it would be nice if you threw in an else that said, no, not true. That would be nice.
We need to use the text field right now.
The text field.
Under properties, you know, where there's name, there's text.
For the button you do, but not for the text box, because you don't want anything written in the text box. Okay, you don't want anything written in the text boxes. You want to let the text boxes blank for the user to enter information in. But my buttons, I want something on the top of them, so I'm going to put text in on the top of them.
Because I can't, all I have is text,
I don't have a label. You don't even have to have a label, if you want to. I didn't put a label on this because I was being sloppy, but if you want to put a label on, feel free to put a label that says code. You look very frustrated. You're going to call this one, I would suggest calling it text code. I probably should have put a capital C on code. Text code. And then call this any name you want to come up with. Whatever works. So you can call this button whatever. I've run out of names. If you ever want to go back to the original, this just download it again. Right, but as I said, you know where you can find the original again. Mine is too at this point. And notice my question that I want you to ask is my favorite question of one thing has to be true and either of two others. Where have you heard that before?
That is your favorite question.
Thank you. But if you get it done and you're sitting here being bored, do it two ways, one compound and one with simple ifs. So if you get it done and you're bored, do it the second way, once with compounds and once with simple ifs.
We're setting this?
No.
What did you want
I just don't want you to be bored.
What did you want it to do if...
Oh, just put out, yeah, message box that says yes.
Okay.
Or write yes inside the text answer, either one. You can just basically write yes. Or if you want to, you can write meets criteria or... Yesterday, I had somebody sitting there, and they also had on a hoodie with their heads down, so they were really disappeared. I gather you got it done, Eric. No, you would actually, yeah, I thought you were doing it. Did you? Yeah. You were looking and reading my reference, so I thought you were actually doing it. My boxes and everything. If I don't, I can go back and look under the properties and find out what I called them.
I can't find the name, that's what I'll get the text.
Are you out of run mode? You're in it. Oh, start. Okay, you can see step. All right,
yeah.
So that's fine. So you want to know the name of that, and you come over here, and there it is, name, text first. And then if you click on that one, let's then scroll up to name. Scroll up. Name is at the top. And there it is, text seconds. Has anybody got a solution? Because I don't hear a lot of clicking. Sonia, is yours working now?
What?
Is it working now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to start doing it if you're doing it, and I'm just going to... You can ignore me if you want. So the first thing I want to do is I want to put in a text box. And it would be lovely if I also put in a label. But we're kind of messing this thing up anyway, so it's not like it's worth anything at this point. So I'm putting in, I grabbed a text box. And I am going in here, and it's called text box one. And I'm going to call it text code. Okay, so I put in this text box, and I called it text code. Okay, now I'm going to go in and find my button, and I'm going to put my button in. And I am going to give my button a name of button whatever, because I've run out of names. Okay, so there's button whatever. And I need to go down and change its name to say whatever. That's button whatever. And I am changing its name to say, I'm sorry, its text to say whatever. So the name is button whatever. And I'm changing the text to say whatever. Okay? So now I've got the button call whatever. If I want to put the code in, I double click on this button. And that brings up a subroutine, makes a subroutine that will be executed when I click. So on the click event, this will be executed. Okay, so on the click, but you want to name it first before you go and click on it.
You have to name it in two different places.
Well, you're naming it, and then you're putting what you want to be written on the button. So the name of the button is, if I go back here, the name of the button is button whatever. And that's right after the word name. Name whatever. And then I scroll down to text, and under text I write the word whatever, because that's what I want to appear on the surface of the button.
Yeah, I have something on the surface, but I can't find it.
Okay. So I've got to have name as the name of the button. And when I double click on it, the name of the button and then the click event is what I see here. So button whatever, which is the name of the button, underscore click. The whatever that I'm the whatever I'm writing on the button is to tell the user what to click. Okay? Because if I don't put a name on the button, they have no idea what button they're supposed to click. So that name is to tell the user what to click. So now I'm going to put in the if, and I'm going to do the compound first. So the first thing I'm checking, I said I wanted text code equal to A. Okay, what's wrong with that? Is that the way I've written it?
Two equals
sign.
Quotes
around the A. Okay? No, I don't need two equal signs in this language. So I just have quotes around the A. And Visual Basic, being very helpful, will throw in the second quote for you. And sometimes that really irritates me because I'm in the process of typing the second quote. And now I've got double second quotes and all the rest of it. But anyway. Okay? So now I want and... Okay, text first dot text greater than 10 or text second text greater than 10. Okay, first of all, I've got a mistake in here. Where is it? What do you see? I am missing parentheses, yes. And I also have an error in what I wrote. But you're right, I'm missing parentheses. But I also didn't put dot text on the text code. It doesn't care that I'm missing parentheses. So if I come down here, it clears everything out because it doesn't know what my logic is. So it doesn't care about the parentheses. The missing parentheses is a logic error. The missing word text is a syntax error. I did not write Visual Basic correctly. The missing parentheses is a logic error because it doesn't know what logic I want to do. This is maybe what I want to do. So it can't correct that. But I want to say, if it's A and either of the other things, ands are resolved before ors. So without the parenthesis, it's going to be A and text first greater than 10, or all by itself, text second greater than 10. Okay? So I need to put in the parenthesis because parenthesis changes the order of operation, and then these things will be done first. Okay? So if I put those in, then those are going to be done first. And then I said you could just put out a message box that says yes. And then if I'm going to do that, it would be nice to have another message box that says no. Because if you don't put an else in and you click on it and it doesn't execute, you're kind of left with a, why didn't it execute? Is it something I did or is it the data that's wrong? So it's nice to get a response either way. Okay? So now I have the message box putting something out. I also said you could, if you wanted to, have written here text answer.text equals yes or text answer.text equals no. Okay. So now if I run this, and I'm going to make that one 12, and this one 6, and this an A. And click whatever. And it gives me a yes, which is what I wanted it to give me. Because the code is an A, and one of these is greater than 10. 12 is greater than 10. Yes?
How many
vehicles?
Do you have to like switch modes to be able to?
Yes, I had to be back to start. I went back and ran the program. So I clicked on the triangle, green triangle by start to run the program to test it. Okay, and then I can put the data in. When I'm in design mode, I'm writing the program. Okay, I mean, and that's true in every language that you did. In JavaScript, you go in and run it. You go in and write it, and then you have to execute it and say run it. Okay? So this got me a yes. And then if I change something and make this a B and click whatever, I'm getting the no. Okay? Questions. Does that make sense? Okay, so now I'm going to do the simple if statement one. So I'm going to come back over to my design and I'm going to put in, where did my data sources go? Toolbox, toolbars. No, toolbox. Does anybody see it? Toolbox. There it is. Okay. So if you ever lose any of these things, you can go into view and look for them and find them. So I've apparently closed down toolbox at some point entirely. Okay, so I now want a button. So I'm going to drag another button over. And I'm going to call this whatever 2, I guess. I'll make it simple. Button is simple. Because I'm doing simple ifs. And I made this simple. Because again, I want something on that that tells me what to do. So now I'm going to click that. So my first question is, if text code dot text equals an A. And if it does, then I want to drop down and say, if text first dot text is greater than 10. Okay? And I don't quite know why I got an extra space there, but anyway. All right, so what do I want to do if it's greater than 10? No, I'm right.
Oh, you're right, okay.
Because I've got an A and I've got greater than 10. So I'm going to write message box, yes. Okay. Now, else. What am I putting in for the else?
No.
No. No, I'm not putting in no. So what am I going to put in? My question was A and either text first greater than 10 or text second greater than 10. So I've already asked about text first, but I haven't asked about text second. So if text first isn't greater than 10, is it possible text second could be greater than 10? Yeah, so I gotta check that. So I'm writing if text second dot text is greater than 10. Okay? And if it is, what is my message? Yes. Message box. Yes. And it finished everything for me. Okay. Now, if I want to tell them no, where do I put it?
Else no.
Else no. So if it's not greater than 10, I've run out of chances. And I'm going to say else, message box, no. Okay. So there's my no. Now, do I need anything else? Where do I need it?
Another else no.
Another else no. What? Where?
After three and ifs.
That's right. Okay. This one goes with that. This one goes with that. Right? So I need to put it in between those two. Because it's the third area. So I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to put after those two, and again, it nicely lines up for me. And I'm putting in, notice how it moved the else out and very nicely lines it up, so that if I'm putting it in the wrong place, it's a lot easier to catch. Okay, so now I've got, if it's A, check and see if the first is greater than 10. And if it is, it's a yes. Else, still A, but maybe second is greater than 10. If it is, then yes. Else, I've run out of chances. So, no. And then I close the ifs, or it does it for me actually. And I add in another else that goes with the if text box equals A. Because that one goes with if text box equals A. So I've got else on that, and the message box is no. And we are out of time. I will tell you that your first assignment in Visual Basic, and you actually know enough to get started on it now, is that I'm going to have you do the first JavaScript assignment, but now do it in Visual Basic. So the same problems that you did in JavaScript 1, the first JavaScript assignment, I now want you to write those problems in Visual Basic. Okay? Mainly so you can compare and see how the two languages work as you're solving the same two problems.
Can you show your buttons again? Go to the...
Yep. Let me make sure. I said yes, but I want to make sure I've got a picture here.
Oh, right. So when you're writing the if and the else statements, right, you're using the names of the buttons.
No.
You're using the names of what's in the text field or what the name
using is. The names of the fields that I want to check the data. But I am inside the button simple click routine, which means I only go there if they clicked button simple.
So it looks like basically text fields here.
I'm not putting them in, I'm checking them. The text fields are on the form, and I'm now checking the text fields that are on the form.
That I just meant typing.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm checking the text fields on the form for their content.
And you're getting that.
Say that again.
I asked if you were getting it from text.
It's there. Looking at the text property, but not the property you typed on the form.
Okay.
The property the user entered in the box.
So you're just choosing these names at random text
No, because I used them when I made up the boxes on the form. I make up a box on a form.
Right.
And then what I want to do is leave that box for the user to enter something into.
Okay.
And then when the user enters something in, I will check and see if it met my criteria.
Okay, so maybe what I'm asking is when you're putting in the name of the box, you're just putting the name that's on the top, that's literally that you're seeing on the box. That you
typed in. No. The name of the box and the text that I write on the box
okay,
are different. So, if I have a text box, I don't put any text property on it.
Okay.
I just give it a name, text second.